In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today we celebrate this great feast of the two pillars of the Catholic Church, Saints Peter and Paul. Saint Peter preached the gospel to the Jews, was chosen by our Lord Jesus Christ himself to be the first pope. And he chose Rome to be the headquarters of the church. He established himself in Rome and eventually was martyred there. And you know that he was buried on the Vatican Hill in Rome, and a church was placed on top of St. Peter. And to this day, St. Peter's Basilica sits on the tomb of St. Peter. Such that we can say that even literally, the central church of the Catholic Church is built on St. Peter. Meanwhile, St. Paul spread the gospel to the Gentiles, starting the communities of Catholics all throughout the Roman Empire. St. Paul also ended his life in Rome, and there's a church dedicated to St. Paul in Rome called St. Paul Outside the Walls, which is the place where St. Paul was martyred. So the institution for which these two saints died, the Catholic Church, is the only divine institution on this earth. It's the only institution that was founded by God. We know that God has left to men to form nations, to establish governments over cities and towns. And so men decide what institutions are going to be established on this earth, by and large. But God himself intervened to establish the one institution on this earth that gets us to heaven, that reaches past this earth to eternal salvation, namely the Catholic Church. This happened, of course, when our Lord himself came upon this earth, when God himself came upon this earth and founded the church on St. Peter. And our Lord's association with the Catholic Church is so close that St. Paul refers to the church as the bride of Christ. The closeness is such that we speak of our Lord as being married to the Catholic Church. He has one bride, which is his church. And we use this imagery to show that it is by the choice of our Lord that the graces which he earned in the redemption, in his death on the cross, are given to men through the Catholic Church. This is the means by which he begets children unto God, by which he communicates the life of God to souls. It is through the Holy Catholic Church, exclusively, only. He has one bride, and he is faithful to that one bride. It is for this reason that we say that there is a dogma that there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. There's only one Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has chosen to make one institution through which the saving graces that bring us to heaven are communicated. There is no other path. There is no other way to attain salvation than through this institution that he has established. Imagine if there was only one man and one woman on this earth. If that were the case, then the only way through which you could get new life, you get a new human being, would be through that one man and that one woman. And you know that, again, by the will of God, this is the way we started off, the way the human race started off. That was just Adam and Eve. And so the only way the human race would be propagated was through the union of Adam and Eve. And so God wanted there to be something similar in the supernatural order. It's by the will of God that the only way that the new life in the supernatural order is begotten is through the union of our Lord Jesus Christ with the Catholic Church. That's what our Lord has established. So all the children who are brought forth to the life of grace and who go to eternal life in heaven are brought to that life through the union of Christ with the church. There is no other way. It is for this reason that St. Augustine famously said, You can have everything but salvation outside the church. You can have honor, sacraments. You can sing hallelujah. You can answer amen. You can have faith in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and preach it too. But never can you find salvation except in the Catholic Church. Now, all of this has great implications for you as Catholics. First of all, it helps you appreciate how important your membership in the Catholic Church is. Your membership in the Catholic Church is more important than any other membership that you have on this earth. It's more important than your membership in Sam's Club. It's more important than your American citizenship. It's more important even than your membership in your natural family, the name that you bear. More important than all of these is being part of the Catholic faith. Consider that no family is able to hold itself together in the long term, as close as you may be to your family. Yet it's not within your power to keep your family together, to hold it together forever. We all know that there is death, and once death comes, you're separated from your family members. That's it. No matter how close you may be to your children, to your parents, or whoever, the only thing that is going to keep you together after this life is over is your union with our Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Christ dwelling in your soul that will give you eternal life. So husbands and wives who die Catholic and in the state of grace will be together forever in heaven. Husbands and wives who don't die Catholic and in the state of grace will be forever apart in hell. And the same is true for cousins, grandparents, sisters, uncles, aunts, fathers, mothers, and so on. Everybody, every member of your family. The only way that you will remain connected to the members of your family after this life is over is if you die in the state of grace and they die in the state of grace. And that is made possible by your membership in the Catholic Church, by your devout reception of the sacraments, by you living the Catholic life. That is why for any sincere Catholic, always the uppermost thing on their mind, the uppermost thing on the mind of good Catholic parents is that they and their children are devout Catholics, that they maintain the Catholic faith. Precisely because they understand that no matter how intimate they may be, how matter how close their family may be, the only thing that is going to keep their family together in the long term is the life of grace, is the living of the Catholic faith. As you know, however, this doctrine of no salvation outside the Catholic Church is scandalously out of favor in the church today. It's not a good sign when we become embarrassed of some of the perennial teachings of the Catholic Church. Churchmen today typically do not want to convert others to the Catholic faith. They say that that's an old way of evangelizing that no longer corresponds to the dignity of man. The modern man has reached a greater sense of consciousness of his own dignity, and you violate that dignity by telling people that they are in error, or by telling people that their religion is false, for instance. Pope Francis famously said this extraordinary sentence. He said, "Proselytism is solemn nonsense." Proselytism is the practice of trying to convert someone to your religion. He said this is solemn nonsense. If you read Pope Francis's document on evangelization, this apostolic exhortation that he gave at the beginning of his pontificate in 2013, Evangelii Gaudium. You will find some very beautiful words in there about bringing people to Christ, witnessing to Christ. But you will not find anything there in there about making people Catholic. So there's lots of language today about witnessing to Christ, bringing people to Christ. But what Christ is not said. Because the various Christian religions have a very, very different perception of who Jesus Christ is. What did he do? How do I unite myself with him? How do I serve him in this life? And all those differences are glossed over. And it's just said, well, we try to bring people closer to Christ. So rather in this document, you'll find lots of language about respecting others, dialoguing with them, walking alongside them, exchanging spiritual gifts with them, listening to them, and so on. As I say today, it's no longer permitted to say that the non-Catholic religions are in error and lead to hell. That it's necessary to join the Catholic Church if you really want to follow Jesus Christ, which of course is the truth. That's his bride. How can you respect the groom without respecting the bride? How can you respect our Lord if you despise the institution that he founded to get you to heaven? So the result is that the churchmen leave these people in their error, and often the only way that people will convert to the Catholic faith is by their own efforts. How different this is from the spirit of Catholics in the past. Consider these words of Pope Pius XI in his encyclical Mortalium Animos. He says, "Let, therefore, the separated children draw nigh to the apostolic see set up in the city which Peter and Paul, the princes of the apostles, consecrated by their blood. To that see, we repeat, which is the root and the womb whence the Church of God springs, not with the intention and the hope that the Church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, will cast aside the integrity of the faith and tolerate their errors, but on the contrary, that they themselves submit to its teaching and government." And there was this missionary, this great missionary, who came and did wonderful work in the United States of America, Mother Cabrini. And she had to take many trips in ships across the Atlantic Ocean. While she was on these ships, she would encounter Protestants and try to convert them, and she would write letters to her nuns. And on one of these occasions, she wrote these words to her sisters. "Believe me, my dear daughters, there are many Protestants who have almost the same practices as we, only they do not see their way to submit to the Holy Father and attach themselves to the true ark of salvation. Pray, pray that these good brethren of ours may understand thoroughly the celestial relations that exist between Jesus Christ and the Holy Father, that they may ally themselves to him, belong to the same family, the same fold, under the one shepherd, the universal pastor through whom we are united by the express will of God. Pray then, pray with your whole hearts, and as true missionaries, offer yourselves as victims to the Sacred Heart to obtain such a grace, so that while the harvest is growing, the enemy may not sow cockle. We must pray much that the Holy Spirit may enlighten each individual soul, in order that all, in the presence of the brilliant light of the Divine Son, knowing and confessing the one true faith, the supreme truth, in union with the Holy Father, may be cured of their false ideas and aspirations, and brought to see the error of their wrong tendencies and desires. The grace of their salvation can only come from the heart of that supreme pastor who called together the apostles and promised grace and blessings to all their successors and who remained faithful to the foundation rock, the Holy Father." So, my dear faithful, our membership in the Catholic Church, this bride of Christ, is a very precious possession for us, because it is alone through this church, through our devout living of our Catholic faith, that we are able to attain salvation. So on this great feast of Saints Peter and Paul, let us keep in mind various intentions that we should have. First of all, that we ourselves remain faithful to what we've been given, to this faith that comes from God himself. Secondly, that many may come to the Catholic Church, that many souls may be saved, as many as possible. And that finally, all of us one day may be reunited in heaven forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.